Today on Mr. Media, I'll talk to filmmaker Roger Nygaard, best known for his documentary about Star Trek fans, Trekkies, about his new movie, The Nature of Existence. Stick around. So much media, so little time. Who keeps track of it all? That would be me. This is Bob Andelman, and this is a Mr. Media interview. You know, MrMedia.com, MRMedia.com. Come and check it out sometime. And the show is brought to you today by thepartyauthority.us. Planning a wedding, mitzvah, or corporate event? For any and all occasions, call the Party Authority nationwide at 1-800-DIAL-DJS. That's 1-800-342-5357, where one call does it all. So where was I before the commercial? Oh, yeah. Mr. Media is recorded live from the new media capital of the world, St. Petersburg, Florida. Roger Nygaard has come back to Earth, or has he? The highly regarded documentary filmmaker went to the outer reaches of the galaxy a few years ago when he profiled Star Trek fans and a few actors from the show to make Trekkies and its sequel, Trekkies 2. Somehow, he made fun of Trek fans at the same time he captured the essence of, sorry folks, of their beliefs and devotion to the world of Gene Roddenberry. Now he's back trying to make sense of a new, greater challenge, the nature of existence itself. Here's the trailer for Nygaard's The Nature of Existence, which premieres in New York City tomorrow, June 18th, at the Quad Cinemas, 34 West 13th Street, and on July 2nd, at the Sunset 5 Theaters, which is at 8000 West Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles.
We all have one thing in common. We exist. But why?
That's a hard question.
Why do we exist? Because of our karma.
To be caretakers of Mother Earth.
We exist to love.
To make a difference. Masturbation.
I think you're speaking for the devil.
We come up with answers, whether they're true or not.
We can see 100 billion galaxies, and each one has 100 billion stars. We look at all of that, and we say, you know, why do we exist? It's got to be all about us.
It all started when I asked my friends what they thought. For me, the biggest thing is, I don't. And one question led to another.
What is God?
What is our purpose? Is there an afterlife?
Well, I gotta admit, I hope so.
I went on a spiritual quest to find answers. I talked with scientists, religious leaders, even wrestlers.
If God will use a wooden staff that was meant to tend sheep, to part an entire ocean, why wouldn't he use a wrestling ministry? God's into unique methods.
A couple of questions turned into a worldwide search for meaning. I felt like I had to go to the source where these ideas and religions and philosophies originated.
Religion is like the banana king. Spirituality is the banana.
How does Christ mix with drag racing?
He created it.
Is there one God or many gods?
Only one. God is only one.
In Islam, the truth prevails, not majority.
Truth can be offensive. Jesus offended people.
There is no more evidence for any kind of God than there is for fairies or unicorns.
Does it require a start button to have started everything?
But if someone pushed the button, who pushed their button?
Was there nothing before the big boom? Was it just a vast void and a sudden boom? And then that developed into, you know, human beings at McDonald's?
We are an accident.
Everything created is one thought in the life of God. Boom.
In Nygaard's existence is someone whom I instantly remembered from college in the early 1980s, Brother Jed Smock, the self-appointed campus evangelist at the University of Florida. And we'll talk about him a little later. But if you see only one movie about existence this year, make it this one. Roger Nygaard, welcome to Mr. Media.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
pleased to have you. Enjoyed the movie. And you do know that somewhere between Star Trek and existence, there are smaller topics to tackle, right?
Yeah, sorry if I took on one that was so limited this time. I'll try to broaden my scope in the next film.
How did you careen from two films about nutty Star Trek fans to this? What's the in-between there?
Well, if you were to examine both of them structurally, they're almost identical in a lot of ways, because I've been accused of being a closet anthropologist. It's really, Trekkies is a portrait of a subculture, and The Nature of Existence is a portrait of several subcultures around the world, all generally based around belief systems. So they're related, on a basic level, but this one, I guess, you would say it's more serious, but on the other hand, to me, it's just as much, life is so absurd, you have to laugh. And so both of them, to me, are a comedy because life is funny.
I don't disagree with you. I thought it was just as compelling to watch people explain their beliefs in the Star Trek universe as it is to see, 50, 75, however many people you interviewed for The Nature of Existence try to justify their beliefs. And frankly, I know some people believe in Star Wars as a religion, and they all seem to be almost equal in this film.
Yeah, well, I like to give people a chance. I just ask the questions and let them tell me the answers. I'm a good listener, and I happen to have a camera. So part of what I do, I guess, and I only really noticed this in hindsight, it wasn't intentional, but I'm not very judgmental about other people in real life. And as I'm making a film, it's kind of the same thing. I'm really curious about people. I think they're really entertaining. Most of my friends are comedians, although the majority of them probably don't know it, but they make me laugh.
Were you surprised at the number of people, both who this is their profession, to study these things, and the people who are just everyday kind of people that were willing to describe their beliefs and explain their faith in the nature of existence, if you will, on camera?
Yeah, when I started out, I thought, man, I wonder if I'm going to get in fist fights with people asking them these questions, because they're kind of sensitive questions sometimes. When you get into a room and you ask people, why do we exist? A lot of people say to glorify God, to get to know God. A lot of people go in a religious direction, not everybody. But then that begs the question, well, define God for me. And then, is there an afterlife? Where is it located? And I didn't stop there, though, because I had a list of the toughest questions I could think of. And so I'd go on to other things like, what is the soul? What is the sin? Where is the afterlife located, et cetera? And, is it a sin to masturbate? Should we have sex before marriage? And it surprised me. You'd think that maybe you'd assume people would be kind of reluctant to answer some of these questions, but it was actually harder to get them to shut up than to get them to start in most cases. People love talking about themselves, what they think, what they believe, and so I provide the soapbox.
I completely get that as a journalist. As you said that, I was thinking back a couple of years ago. I did a biography of the late comics artist Will Eisner, and I had interviewed this very renowned writer who I won't give his name, and I was very pleased to get some time with him, and I was figuring about 10 to 15 minutes on the phone, and an hour passed, and his assistant came on and said, so-and-so has to go right now. I said, oh, well, that's fine. I said, we talked way longer than I thought we would, and I said, tell him I said thank you, and she said, well, actually, he's wondering if you're available a little later tonight to continue the conversation.
Yeah.
I said, it's not necessary. I'm thinking how many people would die to have 2 hours on the phone with this guy, or, and I'm like, an hour was plenty.
Yeah, I spent some people, like Brother Jed, who you mentioned in your opening, and a rabbi that I talked to in Jerusalem, I spent 5 hours. It took them 5 hours to get through the questions because they had a lot to say. Some people can breeze through them very quickly, and some, especially you can imagine rabbis, they're storytellers, so they have a lot of stories and parables to tell you.
Right. Did one person tend to lead to another, or did you find people independent of each other?
I have a system that, in hindsight, I call the three R's. First of all, I do a lot of research. I read novels or books or whatever I can get my hands on, and then I try to track down the authors. Secondly, I go and after I meet them, a lot of times I get referrals. People tell me you should meet so-and-so. Every interview generally leads to another two or three referrals. And the third thing is I'll just show up some places, and it's just by random chance, whoever I find. I went to most of China was random. It's just whoever I bumped into. I had set up a couple of things, but I just kind of left it open. And a lot of times those interviews, those random chance interviews, were as good or better sometimes than the, you know, quote, experts that I'd set up somewhere at a university.
Mm-hmm. In China, you were almost Anthony Bourdain. You document when you wanted to have some chicken, and the sign said fresh chicken, and you ordered the chicken, the lady went out and killed the chicken. Or the lady who you helped grind what I guess was grain. I'm not positive. But another time
I'm not
you
sure
interviewed
what it was either.
Right. Okay. You interviewed the cab driver, who I think was a Muslim, and that was fascinating.
Everybody's had a moment like that, though, you know. Especially, I mean, probably almost every cab ride you have that opportunity, because whoever is driving the cab is going to be a character, and they're going to have opinions about everything, and usually they'll share it whether you like it or not. So this was no exception. The guy who took me to the airport. And I generally will just film things and see if it works. And sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. The chicken you're referencing, that was the worst case of traveler's diarrhea I've ever had in my life, eating that chicken. And so I think in my film, it has the distinction of having the absolute worst chicken I've ever eaten, and the absolute best, which was at this barbecue restaurant in Huntsville, Texas.
Mm. Yeah, 2 days of diarrhea from what we could tell.
Yeah, I was in bed. I mean, I was down. There was no shooting. Those 2 days were canceled. But it was worth it, you know, because the guy I interviewed, or the woman I met who was the chef, was someone I interviewed, and I didn't want to be disrespectful. Even though I'd seen where that chicken came from and the river she was washing it in, I mean, I should have known better, but yeah. I was just kind of hoping that it would be any germs would be cooked out, but, you know, you go with the flow.
Folks, this is Bob Andelman, and you're listening to the Mr. Media Radio interview with documentary filmmaker Roger Nygaard, whose latest release is The Nature of Existence. Roger, there are some very interesting voices at all extremes in this film, from the wrestling minister who wants to explain the nature of existence to Indian holy man Ravi Shankar, who some people, I believe, goes back to the Beatles, right?
He has the same name, but it's a different guy. And I think the Beatles guitarist came first, and then Ravi Shankar was not born with that name. He took that name, but he added Shri Shri at the head of it, which is kind of like saying Mr. Mr., or like very honorable way of saying Mr. twice.
Okay, I'm glad I asked, because I was confused about that. I thought he seemed a little, might have been even a little young for who I was thinking he was. But who surprised you the most in their views?
Well, that's a tough one. I mean, every single interview, there was something shocking or surprising, because when you're asking these questions, it just brings that out. But if I had to, you know, pick, you mentioned Brother Jed, who was the most shocking, but the most surprising were probably the string theorists, the particle physicists, because what they were telling me was mind-blowing. I hadn't really taken the time to, number one, I never studied string theory, and number two, I never really considered just how big the universe is. Mm-hmm. So when they're sitting there telling me that the universe, as we know it, is about 14 billion light years across, and probably much bigger than that, beyond that, and not only, now this is what string theorists believe, is there one universe, our universe is probably one in an infinite tapestry of universes, all of which have different laws of physics. Ours happens to have the particular laws of physics that would allow conscious beings such as ourselves to come into existence. And as they are searching for the origin of our universe and thus all universes, to do that, they're breaking it down into tiniest particles, which are called, as far as we know now, the smallest unit of energy or particle is called a string, hence string theory. And the size of a string, if you imagine the size of the universe itself, which is 13.7 billion light years across, compared to the size of a human being, a string is as small compared to you as you are in comparison to the entire universe. And just trying to wrap my head around that, the size, the scale, as well as how many universes there are, in infinite number, it just starts making humans and fighting over maybe a little postage stamp of dirt here and there so much more meaningless.
Well, okay, string theory is fine and dandy, but personally, I got to go with chaos theory as explained by Jeff Goldblum in Jurassic Park, but that's just me. Did any of these people convince you that they actually understood the nature of existence by the time, not just after you had finished interviewing them, but by the time you went back and you watched the film or the tape and you did editing, did you come away thinking that any of these people was right on top of it?
Yeah, well, you know, when you ask someone what is the, you know, why do we exist, that leads to what is our purpose? That's really the question that underlies it. The scientists will correct you and say it's not why do we exist, it's how did we come to exist. Why implies a reason. And, you know, scientists don't deal in reason, they deal in how. So what's more relevant to you and I is what should we do while we're here? And that's really the thing that we're all searching for. I mean, we all want happiness, right? We're searching for happiness. But as Julia Sweeney told me, you cannot search for happiness. Happiness is a byproduct of having a purpose in your life. So once again, it comes back to purpose. What should we be doing while we're here? Now, if you're religious, you feel like it's a test. Life is a test. And so you want to pass the test so you can get into that club at the end where all the good people are that, you know, theoretically you want to hang out with. Although there's a good argument to be made that you want to hang out with the people, the more fun people in the other place. But put that aside, what do you do while you're here? And so what really resonated with me is, in a lot of ways, the Eastern philosophical thought. The biggest difference between Eastern and Western is that in the West, we pray outward to God. We ask for things. Please help me. Please help grandma survive cancer, et cetera. Please help me win the hockey cup. And in the East, they don't pray. They meditate and look inward, and it's more about self-realization, and God is within. So and it's about the breath, right? And the breath is about keeping you in the moment. And that makes a lot of sense to me, because if you haven't made the most of each moment and you're not enjoying this moment, I mean, I'm immensely enjoying chatting with you right now, and I'm paying attention to it, and it's wonderful. And so I'm being in the moment. But if it goes by and all you do is punch a clock at work and you hate what you do, you've kind of wasted those moments. You know, I think it was Confucius that said that if you have a job you love, you will never work a day in your life. So in one sense, that's part of finding your purpose and finding happiness as a result.
Now, two of the recurring characters, if you don't mind me calling them characters in the film, are Brother Jed Smock, the evangelist from University of Florida, and your friend, comedian Stevie Ray Fromstein. Now, I have a little clip I want to play. This was, I believe Roger shot this after screening the film, I think at a festival. This is a conversation afterward between Brother Jed Smock and Stevie Ray Fromstein. Give a listen to this.
We're here for the nature of existence. We're both in it. This film is closing the festival, which is very exciting. It's been sold out for a week.
Well, I'm hoping that God will be glorified in this film, and truth will come forth, and it'll get people to think.
I guess we're both interested in the ultimate truth of existence.
I believe I've found it.
There's going to be some Q&A after the movie. I'm going to do the Q, he's going to do the A.
All right, so I have some questions. Do you think an atheist can be a moral person?
Well, not if there is a God who loved us and created us. We have an accountability and responsibility to him first and foremost.
But is that the only criteria for being moral then, is to believe in God? So like somebody like Hitler could be moral if he believes in God?
Well, Jesus taught in John chapter 14, verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes unto the Father but through me. So if that's true and you don't believe it, according to the teachings of Jesus, you're damned.
Is saving us from damnation, and which was created by his Father, God. So basically you have like a family business where they're offering you protection from the family. Isn't that like the mafia?
If God doesn't ultimately separate the righteous from the wicked, he's neither just nor loving. If God doesn't reward the righteous and punish the wicked, then he's unjust and unloving. All have sinned. And so Jesus came to reveal God's love to men and draw people to him, draw people into a relationship with him.
If God didn't like gay people, wouldn't he stop making them?
Well, he made a man and a woman, and he made the woman for the man to reproduce and build a family. So he did not make them express their sexual appetite in a perverted way.
But then if he made gay people, because God made everything, then are they like a bad batch of cookies?
Well, he did not make them homosexual. They chose to engage in and other such perverted activities with the same sex.
When I saw Jed, I hadn't been back to campus in a long time, and I went to Florida, obviously. I did not know he was still there. Roger?
Yes, still here.
I'm sorry. How did you find Jed?
I had seen him when I was in college also at the University of Minnesota, because he travels the country all year round and he preaches. So he gets around and a lot of people see him. I always remembered him, and when I started making this movie, I thought, I wonder if he's still at it. So I tracked him down. Turned out he had a website, found out where he was, and sent him an email and went and spent like a week with him, followed him on the road down to Florida. And it was just amazing to me that he was doing the exact same thing.
It's amazing.
And he's doing it again tonight. He's actually here in New York. I'm in New York for the opening of the film tomorrow night. He's here, and he's going to be having another rematch with Steve Bromstein at the opening night at the evening showing.
Oh, that'd be great. People should check that out. The two of them are quite entertaining. Well, we're just about to run out of time. One more thing. Has your filmmaking, has the method that you use, has it evolved since you did the Trekkie films? Is it pretty much the same style with you in terms of, you know, actually making the film?
Well, I think yes and no. I think there's a lot of similarities, obviously, and that is, I guess, what you would call my style. And I didn't set out to have a style. I just set out to make as entertaining a movie as possible each time that I go out and make a movie. I had no idea when I started shooting this film if it would work, what it would turn into, if I would even have some kind of a story. This was the least structured movie from the beginning compared to my other films. Trekkies, with all its flaws, I think is even more structured. But I found a way there. You know, I worked with a friend named Paul Tarantino, who co-produced the film with me. I had showed him footage, and I was having trouble finding a story and what to do with these pieces, and he suggested I should put myself in the film, and I couldn't afford any other option. What am I going to do, hire Fred Willard to narrate the film? And so that's how I ended up in the film, and it's really organic. Long way of saying that my style, I hope, is still evolving, and I don't know what I'll do next or if it'll be similar, but it'll probably have a lot of similarities.
Well, folks, The Nature of Existence premieres in New York City tomorrow, June 18th, at the Quad Cinemas, 34 West 13th Street, and on July 2nd at the Sunset 5 Theaters at 8000 West Sunset Boulevard in Los Angeles. The website is thenatureofexistence.com. From there, you can see clips, you can see photos, you can follow Roger on Twitter and Facebook. He's pretty much everywhere that you can imagine him being.
And we have on the website the 85 questions that I asked everybody are there, and people can go and submit their answers. I'd like to hear what you are thinking. Tell me your answers to why we exist or what's our purpose or how we find happiness, etc.
Very good. Well, Roger, it was a fascinating movie. I wish you a lot of luck with it, and thank you so much for coming on the show tonight.
You're very welcome.
All right. And, folks, for more original interviews with your favorite filmmakers, both fiction and nonfiction, surf over to our main website, MrMedia.com, MrMedia.com. And you can now hear Mr. Media while you're on the go with Stitcher Radio. Stitcher is a free news and talk mobile application. The latest episode of Mr. Media is always available for you. No syncing needed, no memory wasted. Available for your iPhone, your Palm Pre, Android phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Just go to Stitcher.com or check out the App Store for your individual mobile phone. And remember, you can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Andelman, or Facebook, just search Mr. Media. Thanks for joining us today. See you next time. Bye, everybody.